Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Hallelujah. The Bible is telling us a very wonderful thing. Jesus Christ said that if you want to enter into life, in other words, if you want to enter into kingdom life, then you must keep the laws of the kingdom or the commandments in the kingdom. Hallelujah. So, you know that every country has got laws or has got commandments, so to speak. So has the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has also got laws that people who are in it should keep. And if you keep those laws, if you obey those laws, then the government likes you. Then the authorities like you. Then we can say that you are in right standing with the authority or the government. You are in right standing. You have righteousness. But the people who do not keep the law of the land or of any country or kingdom, those people are put into prison. In other words, they are given a restricted life. Although they are citizens, yet their life is not a great life. And it is the same thing in the kingdom of God. You can be a citizen in the kingdom of God or the country of God and not have a great life, and rather have a restricted life. Because the people who are in prison, they are Ghanaians, all right, they are citizens of this country, all right, but their desires are even restricted. They can have a desire that I want to see my wife, I want to see my children, but that desire is restricted. You can't see them at any time that you want. There is a specific time that they may come to you, and even that time is also restricted. So, it is the same thing in the kingdom of God. You can be righteous positionally. In other words, you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior and be in the kingdom of God, but yet have restricted desires. That is where your desires really are not fulfilled. You live an abnormal life. A prison life is an abnormal life. The prisoner eats like every other person, but it's an abnormal eating lifestyle, so to speak. It is regimented. It is time for you to eat. After a while, they come and take the thing away. So, it is not a normal life. Prison life is not a normal life. We must yearn as children of God to not just be in the kingdom of God, but also be able to live the free life of a Christian. And the other thing is that kingdom prisons are so wonderful that sometimes we get confused and think that kingdom prisons are really the kingdom life. But that is not it. Hallelujah. I am made aware that in some of the prisons in the developed countries, in the advanced countries, even prison life is a good life. Because the prisoners eat well, the prisoners have access to the internet, the prisoners have access to maybe multi-channel television that they can flip and enjoy themselves, etc., etc. And if you don't take care, you will think that that prison life is a good life and it's a real life. But it's not like the people who are outside of the prison. In other words, in the kingdom of God also, you can be in prison and live a prisoner's life. But think that the fact that maybe you are eating as a believer
and maybe some of your needs are met, and maybe some of your prayers are answered. That is the real Christian life, or that is the kingdom life, but that is not it. It is still a restricted life. So there are many Christians who are imprisoned, so to speak, or restricted, living an abnormal life, thinking that it is a good life and it is a real life. But the Bible makes us to understand that there is a kingdom lifestyle that we all must aspire unto once we become Christians and we live in the kingdom of God. So an abnormal lifestyle is real in the kingdom of God, in the country of God. It's possible to have a restricted lifestyle, an abnormal lifestyle. And it reminds me about this car. You know, you can have a car that is abnormal and you think that it is normal. That is a kind of car that the owner will tell you how to use it. You may know how to drive, but until the owner tells you that this car, if you want to open the door, you must push it inside small before you lift it, and then the door will open. If the owner doesn't teach you how to function in abnormality, you cannot move the car. That is the type of car that perhaps the owner will tell you, if you want to spark it, don't put the key all the way into the ignition. Put it halfway and turn it. So whereas you know how to drive car already, in handling that particular car, you must be taught how to operate and function in an abnormal way. And then you must see the owner of the car driving the car as if it's a normal car, because he knows how to open the door normally, as if it's a normal car. He knows how to put the key in the ignition hole and turn the engine as if it's a normal thing. But you know that it's not a normal car. You know that it's an abnormal car. So sometimes in the kingdom of God, we operate, for example, our marriages, we think it's normal, but it's an abnormal marriage. You can have an abnormal marriage. You can have an abnormal financial life. You can have an abnormal relationship with people and think that, oh, that is kingdom life. That is normal. You can have an abnormal day-to-day life. You can have an abnormal prayer life where maybe you pray for everything. There are some things, really, it's not normal for a kingdom person to pray about. It is not normal. Hallelujah. There are certain things that a kingdom person must just reach out and take it. He doesn't have to labor in prayer about those things if he's living a normal kingdom life. We can even have abnormal understanding. So I want us to take this thing further, and I want us to understand, in talking about the laws of God's country or the laws of the kingdom in which we are, it is important for us to understand that the law is no respecter of persons. In fact, ignorance of the law will not excuse you from the effects of the law. For example, if you are blindfolded and you are taken to the top of a very high rise, say a skyscraper, and then they leave you there and remove the blindfold, and you think that you are on the ground, I'm talking about on the earth, and you begin to run, you will realize that sooner or later you are going to fall from that high rise or skyscraper. Now, when you start to fall, the law of gravity will not spare you. That, oh, he didn't know he was on a skyscraper, so I will not let him come down, I'll let him suspend. That law will not spare you, because ignorance of that law is not an excuse. The law really is not supposed to know faces. Whether you are whoever you are, a president, when he runs, the law will not spare him. A servant, when he runs on that skyscraper, in fact, the law of gravity will not spare him. He is going to come down. So I want us to look at another of the law of the kingdom. I'm really sharing with us three laws of the kingdom. The law of the kingdom is threefold. The first law is the law of faith. And it is the law that was exemplified by Abel. You remember Abel, the son of Adam and Eve. We said that Abel was a type of Jesus who had dominion over the rebellious animals. Because when Adam and Eve fell from their dominion or from their kingship in the Garden of Eden, and they rebelled against the Lord, all the animals around who were submitting themselves to Adam and Eve also rebelled against Adam and Eve. So suddenly, when he calls the animal, they don't come like at first. He is not able to have dominion over the dogs, over the sheep, over the donkeys, over the camels, over the horses, over the birds as before. So Adam has to learn how to domesticate these rebellious animals. And Abel was an example and a type of Jesus who, after Adam, was able to exercise dominion on the face of this earth. Dominion over rebellious animals. That is why when they came to offer their sacrifices to God, Abel brought sheep. Because the Bible says that he had dominion over the sheep. He had domesticated these wild rebellious animals. And he was keeping them together. But Cain, after the manner of his father was a farmer. You remember he was put in the garden, that is Adam, and he was asked to dress it and keep it. So, obviously, Cain learned agriculture from Adam, who was an agriculturist. And then he brought his fruit also. But you know that Abel typified somebody who, after Adam, by faith, the Bible says, he managed to domesticate the wild, rebellious animals, and then he exercised dominion. So when the devil, God came to kill Abel, the devil was not just killing Abel in person, he was killing a system, a secret that Abel had that made him overcome and domesticate the rebellious animals that had rebelled against Adam when Adam or man fell. So Abel was an example of somebody who walked after Adam in total dominion over the rebellious on the face of this earth. And that is what I shared with you last week. Now, I want us to look at the second law, and I want us to put them all together. I'm talking about the law of hope and love. The law of hope and love. The law of hope and love was typified by a man called Job. Can we all say Job? All right. We all know the story of Job in the Bible. In fact, Job, the book of Job, is wrongly placed in the Bible. There are many Bible commentators who agree that the book of Job should rather be the first book of the Bible. Because the book of Job is the most ancient of the books of the Bible. Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis and Exodus and all that, he lived after Job was alive. So the book of Job is really the oldest book of the Bible. And the Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1, if you will quickly turn over there, because I want to talk to you about hope and love from this wonderful man of God called Job, who lived actually before Abraham, and who is believed to be a student of Abel. He lived in a land called Uz, U-Z. and Uz was in the Arabian desert. So the name Job in Arabic means repent or return.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
In other words, in the life of Job, God is demonstrating to humanity how to return to Eden, how to go back to the place of dominion and strength. If you read the book of Job, you will understand that Job was the only person in the Bible who mentioned directly the son of Adam. There is no other place in the Bible where you will get it. But Job lived in a period very close to Adam. That in Job 31 verse 33, he said, "If I hid my sin in my bosom like Adam." In other words, the sin of Adam was so fresh to Job. That should tell you the period that Job lived. And Job was a person who, like Abel, who lived close after Adam, he understood burnt offerings. Before Moses came around and they had the law of burnt offering, Job was offering burnt offerings just like Abel offered burnt offering, an animal, to the Lord. So obviously, Job lived in a period right after Adam, before Abraham. And in the life of Job, we see Abel on a large scale. Because whereas Abel was a keeper of sheep, Job was also a keeper of sheep. Through the dominion mandate of Abel, of Adam, Job was able to domesticate, just like Abel, many sheep and many animals. Because in those days, they were there in the wild. You don't have to go to the market and go and buy it. You just have to have the spirit of dominion and be able to domesticate it and bring it to your house. So look at the book of Job 1 verse 3. Also, talking about Job, his possessions were 7,000 domesticated, former rebellious sheep. 3,000 camels. He even went over Abel, not just to keep the sheep, but he went to the big animals, camels, and he domesticated them. So he had 3,000 camels. I'm not sure the Sultan of Brunei even can boast of 3,000 camels. But Job had it in the Arabian desert. And then he had 500 yoke of oxen. Oxen is in the cow family. He went to the big cows. These were not small cows as we see around. These ones have been malnourished through their line. Their DNA has almost been destroyed from the way that God created it in the beginning. But these oxen that we are reading about, that Job managed through the spirit of dominion to go back to Eden and to domesticate, they were big cows. He had them in control. In fact, if you read on, he says that he had 500 female donkeys. He domesticated them. In fact, he conquered them totally. He had a spirit of dominion. just as Adam had in the Garden of Eden. And we want to understand, how come Job was able, even after the fall of man, to have the spirit of dominion and to be able to domesticate all these animals? He had a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East Country. Now, if you read Job, you will quickly understand that this man lived on the conditions that Adam and Eve lived by, but through hope and through love. So if you read Job, you will understand that he enjoyed a certain type of protection that was unique. It was Edenic. It was the Eden type of protection. In fact, the devil was told by God, or the devil told God, that God, you have built a hedge around him and around everything that he has, and whatever thing that he touches is blessed. So you let me destroy everything that he has, and you will see that this man is going to curse you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that in the kingdom of God, as we are in right now, if we should walk in the dominion that God has given unto us, we should not be afraid of anything. Any arrow that flies by day, or the one that is flying by the night, all of our goods are kept. There is a wall of fire around it that preserves the kingdom citizen. He enjoys such a protection that none of his things, the devil cannot lay a finger on what belongs unto him. Job was a man who was the first person after Adam and Eve fell to really combine prosperity and piety. He was both prosperous and he was a pious man. He was both righteous and he was a rich man. And he was the first after Adam to combine in himself such a wonderful attribute. An attribute that Adam had in the garden. That is why I want us to understand that Job had an Edenic life even after the fall, because he still had dominion over the earth. You understand that in every society, in every generation, God goes out of himself to pick a person and exemplifies in the person the kind of human being that he wants. In every society, in every age or generation, God picks up a prototype. It's not that the person is so wonderful than other people, but God wants to exemplify in the person the kind of human being he wants. The one with dominion, not just over spiritual things, but with dominion over natural things, over prosperity, over the wealth of this world. So Job was an example, like Abel, of living in dominion, living like in the Garden of Eden, with all the animals under you, in all their numbers, not by faith. Adam lived in the garden by the glory. Abel lived and had dominion by faith. Job, who lived around that period, used more of hope and love to conquer. And that is what I want us to understand, that the devil, just as he came to Adam and Eve in the garden, and just as he came to Abel through Cain, he also came to Job, because he wanted to kill that system that was giving man dominion again. Dominion the God way, that was restoring the kingdom to man. So he came to Job and he wanted to destroy Job totally. And I like what God said about Job. He said that, have you observed my servant Job? I want us to know that Job was set up to be an observation post, to be observed by principalities, by powers, by human beings, to know the kind of human being that God wants us to be, his people to be. I believe that the people of God must start to crave very seriously for righteousness and for riches. You know why? Because the world will never, never give your money over for the kingdom work to be done. But I see a kind of Christian who is not welcoming riches and money and dominion over this earth realm. I see a kind of Christian who say that as for me, I want to be religious. I don't want to have anything to do with having dominion over money. Hallelujah. But God wants us to observe Job. When God told the devil that, have you seen my servant Job? What happened was that God eventually gave the devil authority to touch Job. And God gave him authority to touch Job because God wanted to prove to the devil that the kingdom dominion is a spirit. It is not in the provision I have made for him. It is not in the children I have given to him. It is not in the property and the blessing I have given to him. And that if you take it all away, because he has a spirit of dominion, he is going to generate that thing all over again. And that is what God does unto us. When we become Christians, he plants in us a spirit of dominion. And that spirit, no matter where you are put, you are able to generate authority the way that you must generate it. Just sit anywhere, okay? In due time, you will start so that you sit properly. Hallelujah. Amen. Wedding is one thing we use numbers to do. So we want to wait for as many people to come. So I want you to be relaxed, enjoy the word of God, and we are going to have a very wonderful time in God's presence today. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that God has planted in you a spirit of dominion, and you must be able, by obeying the law of hope and love, be able to conquer in this earth realm. Because one of the things that is used by God to conquer in this earth realm is hope. That is why when the devil came, like he came to Adam and destroyed everything that Adam had, he came to Job in a similar circumstance and destroyed everything that Job had. Job still had hope. He still had hope in the Lord. In fact, in the book of Job, is it chapter 13 or so, he said that though he slays me, yet will I trust in him. Can you imagine somebody who is just destroying you, and then you have hope in the same person? In fact, one of his first statements was that God has given and God has taken away. The Bible says when he heard that all the children were dead and all of his property was gone and he was left with nothing, the Bible says that he rent his garment and then he worshipped. That's the spirit of dominion at work. I don't know what you will do when maybe you lose a little money. Not all your money. But maybe you start a business and the thing go off. You lose the money. Do you curse God? Do you say that, God, you are a wicked person? Job says that, I still have hope in this God. And though he slays me, yet will I trust in him. Because he had the spirit of dominion. He has such a resilient spirit of hope that even the person who was, as it were, destroying him, he still had hope in him. And that is the way that God wants us to have. Sometimes I look on the continent of Africa and I think that we are like a picture of Job. Sometimes in other areas, I think that we look around, we see that our things are all destroyed. Our people are destroyed. Our sons and our daughters are destroyed to a whole lot of things. AIDS, sicknesses, diseases, mediocrity, low thinking. They are all destroyed all around us. All of our property are looted. They are gone, so to speak. I feel that sometimes Africa is a picture of Job. But we need to be able to have dominion through the way that Job had the dominion. Job never cursed God. The devil realized that in spite of what he had done, the guy still had hope in the Lord. And he still loved God with an unconditional love. Wonderful. And that is the kind of hope and love that I'm talking to you about. I'm talking to you about an unconditional love that Job had for God. Is your love for God conditioned on the fact that he blesses you and he prospers you? Or is it that you love God because you love God? He can take away everything around you. You still have trust in him. You still hope in the Lord. And you still love him with a love that is not predicated upon what God does for you. That is the kind of resilient spirit of hope and love that Job exemplified. In fact, the love of Job was so deep that the Bible says that when the devil could not get him, he had to pass through the wife. Came to the wife like the serpent came to Adam and Eve. The same fashion, and said, curse God and die. Job says, I can't do that. What you are saying is not correct. I can't curse God. I still have hope in him. I still love him the way that I loved him when all my children were around and all my business was booming and all my property was around me, because I have a spirit of dominion that does not put me under the works of the devil. It makes me stay on top. Whether I'm blessed or I'm not blessed, whether I have or I don't have, I have a spirit of dominion.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.